much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Oh, here's Lisa. She'll save the party.
Wake up, it's Smoke Sausage O'Clock.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's the return of... Oh, wait, no way, you're kidding. He didn't just say what I think he did he? And Dre said, nothing, you idiots. Dr. Dre's dead. He's locked in my basement. Ha ha.
Lisa May, the sky is clear. The moon is bright. There's nobody around. Not a person in sight. Come on, baby. Let's get entertained.
So much beef.
Lisa is a nut. She has a rubber butt. Every time she turns around, it goes putt-putt.
And now.
Well, we all are impatient. We don't like to put off things, and we want what we want when we want it. And sometimes we end up spending a lot of time and money, and then, sadly, we don't end up with what we really wanted.
Our feature presentation.
Wow, you've just
I hate that.
Just been spending too much time around me.
That's true.
Wow, yeah, we died.
I know.
Tribute to Lisa May on the open today, because after today being Kevin's last show, she's all I've got.
Yeah. I figured that's what the music was for. It's our big
Well, it's a big farewell to Kevin show.
Yeah. I saw him walking down the hall and I said, "Oh, this is the last time I'm going to see you do that."
She did. That was awesome. It's very nice. Christine was so sad yesterday. We were listening to you create moment with after moment with, and she's like, "I don't know that I'm going to I can't Kevin can't die. He's got too much great moment with left in him for to say goodbye so young.
And we don't want to go on without the moments.
We don't want to go on without the moments or without the monkey.
Yeah.
Kevin, this is it. You've been working here a long time.
Right.
To leave this behind, not to mention your country, your family. I mean, all of this is over soon.
By over, you mean for 11 days or however long I'm going to be in Brazil, and then I'll come back and everything will be normal.
I don't know if it'll be 11 days. I mean, you could... died on the first day. It's hard to say.
You don't even know that you're going to get 11 days out of it.
Yeah.
And when you talk about coming back, that's assuming they can find all the pieces of your body.
I don't see myself dying.
Well, of course you don't. Nobody does.
Nobody does.
That's the beauty of dying.
That's the beauty of it.
I bet you could pick up a newspaper in Brazil today and find lots of people in the obituaries that didn't think that was their day. Mm-hmm. But then the World Cup came to town and everything changed.
Yeah. I'm good.
Okay. All right. As long
he's
as you're
made
at peace.
His peace. Yeah.
He's made his peace.
I took
like
one taekwondo class yesterday, so I'm all good.
All right, then.
Hey, speaking of Kevin, you know Kevin is Dance or Die, right?
Right.
Sure.
Dance or Die.
Here's a story that you'll love. It comes out of East Croydon, which I think might be near London in England. It's an illegal rave that's going on at an abandoned Royal Mail sorting facility. You know how they do those big warehouse raves, right?
Right.
And you just do it until you get busted, until the police find out about it and come and shut you down. So the young man in question, a 16-year-old named Josh, he did an interview with Vice TV show, and I'm quoting from him now. "Well, at around 1 a.m., we were up in the house room, but I don't really like house, so I was waiting for the drum and bass to kick in. As soon as I heard it, me and my mate went down there. 5 minutes in, the fire alarm started going off, and everyone was like, rip it off, rip it off. So I thought I'd give it a go. I was completely sober at the time. I jumped up and grabbed it, and my little finger got caught in the case because it was all broken. And as I came to rip the fire alarm back down, my little finger got ripped off completely."
Oh,
man. Alcohol would have helped that.
Yeah. Right. He was sober, and he lost a finger at a rave.
Damn it.
What do you suppose he did next? Do you think he left and went to the hospital?
No, I'm imagining just that he danced.
He danced, yeah. Exactly. I looked at my hand and my little finger was gone. The bone was sticking out.
Ooh.
It's the weirdest feeling. One second you're fine and your little finger is there, and the next second it's gone. It shoves reality up your backside. I was in so much pain and shock that the first thing that hit my head was the beat and the bass. The bass was hard, so I just ripped off my top, wrapped it around my finger, and tied it up as tight as I could and skanked it out for about a half an hour. My mentality was, I've only been here for an hour. I've paid £10 for this night. I've already lost my little finger. Am I seriously going to go? Nah, I'm going to skank until I can't skank anymore. After that, my mate dragged me down to the paramedics. The boy asked if the paramedics could, he asked the paramedics if he could just be bandaged up and rave on, but they said no, he needed to go to the hospital immediately.
Patch me up. The show's still going on.
Pressed by Vice as to why he persisted to dance after losing a digit, Josh said, well, what can you do? There are fit girls around you. The bass is hard. The music is popping. I didn't want to be the sore thumb sticking out or the sore pinky, I guess. So I was like, F it. Let's skank on and enjoy it. So the PS on this, by the way, is friends later told him that a bunch of stoners found his little finger on the dance floor and were playing catch with it.
Oh, good Lord.
So he tweeted a photograph from the hospital. He's in a hospital bed, and his what's left of his hand is all wrapped up in bandages. But
they didn't try to keep his finger, so maybe they could reattach it.
It sounds like they took him right to the hospital. The paramedics realized he was going to bleed out or something,
wow.
So they took him to the hospital to take care of him, and his finger got left behind to be played catch with.
But he's playing catch. He's like, give me the finger. It's mine.
This is your guy, Kevin.
That is my guy.
That is my guy.
He's your guy. Yeah. So there you go. So that's how his day is going. So,
all right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I have to admit, I have no idea what this means.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Range. Love that. We're going to talk to Dr. Drew on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Bean has insisted on putting together the top 10 moments with Kevin.
Well, it's only fitting.
As he keeps telling me,
it's
this is my last day.
It's how you want to be remembered.
That is not how I want to be remembered. Not
well,
at all.
You can't,
not even
you
a little
can't
bit.
Do anything about that.
Yeah. Paul Haggis.
Yeah, O.J. Simpson doesn't want to be remembered for killing all those people either. But unfortunately, that's his life.
That's the way it goes, yeah. Paul Haggis will be on the show today.
That's
double Oscar winner. It's always very exciting to talk to one of these guys.
Talking about his new movie, Third Person.
Mm-hmm.
Travel Nightmares. This is to make me even more paranoid. And from the L.A. Galaxy, Landon Donovan, talking about the viewing party for the Galaxy and also random sports that we can't mention that are happening somewhere south of where we are right now.
We're not even allowed to say he's talking about the...
I don't know. I've been told no. It's like the big game day party when we do
really?
That for the Schmooper Schmall.
Like, this is news coverage.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah. Yeah,
this isn't...
Is.
I mean...
Right?
No, we'll find out.
Not a promotion?
No.
Oh, I see. Dave just said in my headphones, you could say it during the interview, but not just in the promotion. So in other words, if we said that now, it would be wrong. If we say it with him, it'd be fine. But again, that's Dave. So so we're working without several fingers here today. So anyway, that's coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Here's that guy that does that thing here on K-Rock.
Whatever with the Kevin and Bean curse, what about the Kate Upton curse?
What?
What is that?
Yeah. According to the New York Post, there's a theory out there that says Kate Upton jinxes some of America's best sports stars when she's dating them.
Worth it.
That's what I'm saying. Whatever. They say that Detroit Tigers' Justin Verlander has been jinxed into the worst stretch of his career by his girlfriend Kate. They also claim that Kate cursed Jets quarterback Mark Sanchez and NBA All-Star Blake Griffin, who faced career setbacks while they were dating her as well. So it's all Kate Upton's fault.
It's certainly understandable. I mean, you're not really paying attention to the game when you're thinking about what's happening later that night.
Who cares? Who cares about sports? It's only one sport you care about when you're dating Kate Upton.
This is why
I
won't
date her. That's the horizontal high jump. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? Broad jump.
Absolutely.
Broad jump.
Yep.
The shot put. You put the shot.
Not positive about that one,
yeah,
but all right.
Trust me on that one. You want to put the shot.
Big ones, right?
Casey Kasem's body isn't even cold. Already there's some horrible rumors swirling around his final days. A private investigator claims that Casey's wife, Jean, was making out with another guy in the parking lot of the Washington hospital that Casey was in 4 days before his death.
Dude,
indeed. Neighbors of the couple speculate that she wasn't giving him the best of care when she was in charge of his care. They claim that she would leave him for 12 hours at a time with a housekeeper. Not a nurse, but a housekeeper.
Wow.
Yeah. So maybe the kids did the right thing by stepping in at the last minute.
This private investigator, you think this was somebody that was hired by the kids?
I'm guessing so, yeah. I'm guessing so, and I'm guessing this is the beginning of the lead-up of the battle over his $80 million estate. So we'll have to wait and see.
First, they're consciously uncoupling. Then they're consciously recoupling. Now Chris Martin's got a new girlfriend. I don't know what to believe anymore, for God's sakes. Daily Mail in the UK says that he has been dating model Alexa Chung. They were spotted both flying into the Tokyo airport last weekend. And if that's the case, good for you, Chris
Martin. Good on him. Yeah. That's an upgrade.
And it's coming. It's coming.
Ah.
Thank you, Lisa. True Blood, the musical.
True Blood, really? The musical.
Yeah, HBO says, following the seventh season finale of the vampire series later this year, they may do an original True Blood musical for the network. Composer for the TV series, Nathan Barr, says he already has a couple songs ready for the project, which will revolve around protagonist Suki, of course, played by Anna Paquin. And now, the only thing is, he didn't mention whether the original cast will star in the project or not, but Stephen Moyer, who plays Bill Compton on the show, did help him put together some samples of the songs for a True Blood musical, so there is a possibility the entire cast may come back to reprise their roles in a musical, either on stage or for HBO.
Huh.
I think that'd be cool, True Blood musical.
Probably.
People singing and biting. It's like a party at Kevin's house. People singing and biting. Today's celebrity birthday, singer Paula Abdul is 52 years old today. She is a present. Or a gift, or a treasure.
She's a gift. She's a gift. Treasure, all of the above. Yeah.
Actor Hugh Dancy is 39 years old. Poppy Montgomery, I love that Poppy Montgomery. What was that series she was in? I forget what the name of the series was that she starred in. Remember?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was real good on it, too.
She had some memory. She had some great memory.
I
can't remember the name of that show.
It's like photographic memory.
I think it was I Love You, Poppy.
No. It's called Unforgettable.
Unforgettable, see, I get it now.
I was hoping somebody would come up with that.
I had no idea.
But at least I Love You, Poppy came in, which that's no reason to be there. Zoe Saldana is 36. Macklemore is 31. Shalom! And actor Paul Dano turns 30 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beats.
Director-writer Paul Haggis joins us on the show in a few moments, talking about his film called Third Person. By the way, Kevin, we got to bring this up with Paul. He shot a whole scene of Olivia Wilde running around a hotel naked and then didn't put it in the movie.
Aw.
Okay, all right.
So he's dead to us,
how do you
right?
How do you make that choice?
Just selfish.
I think there may be some in the movie, but apparently there's a scene that she shot running up and down the stairs that didn't make it, and I just think that's unacceptable.
Good for him. He gets to keep it all to himself.
No,
that's all you put in the movie, that's what you do.
He gets to put it on the Blu-ray as an extra.
All right. So let's try to save that question to the end, though, so we don't seem too creepy. Also, Adam Carolla on the program, Dr. Drew, and the great Landon Donovan talks about what it's like to watch the World Cup rather than play in it. That's all coming up on K-Rock. So a couple days ago, you guys, I almost died for reals.
Oh, almost?
How dare you?
I'm just saying.
I'm walking down the street. Dave can picture this because Dave's been to visit me up on the island. But I'm walking down the main street on the island, and an SUV is coming toward me. And there's a guy driving it. It all happened so fast. I didn't get a super good look at it. But he is he's got his phone in front of his face. He's driving an SUV. Youngish guy, looked like he was around 25 maybe. And I'm out walking Veruca on the highway, right?
Okay.
He's heading down the road toward me, and you see the traffic coming. And, you know, when you're walking your dog on the side of the road, a lot of times the car will move toward the center just to give you a little extra berth in case you accidentally step in the road or your dog does or something like that, just to make sure you don't get too close to the person who's walking on the side of the road.
Can I just butt in with a question?
Yeah.
Why were you walking your dog on a freeway?
It's not a freeway.
It's not a freeway. It's a main highway.
It's the main highway of the road. It's a two-lane road.
It's the only road on the island, dude.
It's the road that goes from one side of the road to the other, right. So we're walking down the street, and this car's coming toward me. And as I mentioned, other cars are pulling off to the center. This guy isn't pulling off to the center. And I'm thinking, well, this is unusual, but he's still in his lane, so he's just going to go by me a little closer than most of the other traffic. He's coming closer. He's now drifting toward the line on the side of the street. He's now getting dangerously close to crossing the line to come over to where I'm standing, and I can't go anywhere. I'm standing there, and there's very little room that I have to move. I'm like right up against the side of, grass, a hill, basically. So I've got nowhere to go, and he's heading right toward me. He's still looking at his phone.
Oh, my God.
You think he was texting? Or
No way to tell. Huh. No way to tell what he's doing on his phone. So he goes just past me. I mean, I'm talking he missed me by 2 or 3 feet, went past me, and continued to go off to the side of the road until both of his wheels on the right-hand side of the car were off the road and in the ditch.
Oh, so, my God.
So if that had – if his wheels would have been off where you were, you'd be dead.
And I'd have – I'd certainly be injured. I mean, there was certainly – there was nowhere else for me to go. The only thing I could have done is ran to the right, right in front of the car, but that's a dodgy proposition, right? So – and I swear, when he turned the wheel to right the car and it really – it shook him to get back onto the highway, I don't think he ever even knew that we were there. I don't think he ever saw me. I don't think he ever saw my dog. I think the only thing that jolted him away from his phone is that his wheels went off the road into the ditch. And I was thinking, there's not a day that goes by that any of us that drive a car don't see somebody, we assume texting usually, could be tweeting, Facebooking, who knows what they're doing, behind the wheel of a car. I mean, it has become an epidemic, right?
Yeah,
it really has. And it's funny because there's been so much press about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you see, anytime you go to the movies now, you see that public service announcement that says, do not text and drive. And I was thinking as I saw that, I mean, this kid, and I say kid, again, I don't know how old he was. He looked pretty young. He would have had no idea when he hit us that we were even on the road. I mean,
what a selfish bastard he is. He had a chance at taking you out.
How
all he could think about
that's
was
not
himself.
The point.
He
no,
was
you're,
thinking, oh, I need
you're,
to text.
No,
you're, I
that's
need
the wrong
text.
Takeaway. It's the wrong takeaway here.
Oh.
So I come in a couple days ago, and I'm legitimately shaken up by this, as you are in a near-death experience, you know. And I come in, and I tell the guys, you know, what happened. And Dave's like, I text all the time when I drive.
Yep.
And I thought,
no. Shame either.
No. Seriously, Dave? Really? Now? Even?
And even though you almost died, he will continue.
I would buy that in a second, Bean. That's Dave.
Yeah, but I do it in traffic where it's slow and, you know, I'm not hauling ass down the road and I could focus on both.
I would bet you do it on the freeway.
I do.
Well, then
freeway.
What are you talking
Dave?
About?
Well, no, I mean in traffic.
Stop and go?
Yeah. And you know what? I say the opposite where it actually, I think, saves me from getting in an accident because, you know, me and driving and, you know.
Falling asleep?
Yeah. So where I'm reading, it actually keeps me focused.
So the
Dave,
way
keeps
that
me awake.
The way, what you're trying to put across on us is that not only is it just not okay, it's great for you.
It helps me.
It helps you.
Yeah.
Wow.
But Dave, here's.
That's just me, though.
That's just me.
But
no
it's
one.
In traffic.
That's not
in traffic, not going faster than 20 miles per hour.
Dave, hear my whole thing.
Yes.
When your eyes are off the road, there are a multitude of things that you can miss. Every day you listen to Lisa talk about a dog running
Dogs
across the highway.
Run across the freeway.
What if a dog runs across
the
freeway and you don't see it because you're looking at your phone? Because even if you're only going 30 miles an hour, you can still F yourself and your car up and a dog by hitting it on the freeway.
If there's a dog on the freeway, then he has bigger issues than me. So
no, you are one of his issues.
Well, you're certainly one of the most biggest.
Well, I'm saying, listen, if it's not me, it's going to be somebody else, maybe. I'm not saying that I want bad things to happen to the dog, but
Dave.
I'm not going to hit a dog, one. I'm not going to hit another person.
By the way, you can't say with any certainty you're not going to hit anything if you're not looking at the road. There's no way you can make that promise.
But you don't look at the road when you're changing channels on the radio, you know,
I don't really
changing
do
a
that
CD.
That often.
What happens?
Playing with your iPod?
What
answering a call?
I don't do
Dave,
those.
Dave, the argument for getting rid of this distraction behind the wheel can't be that there are other distractions behind the wheel. You understand that logically doesn't make any sense.
Well, he started with it. It's better for me. He started with that.
Dave, no, what I'm saying is, what happens if the car ahead of you suddenly and unexpectedly slams on its brakes?
I will see it. I will see the red lights.
Let's just
Listen,
let's just put this conversation someplace where we can get it again so we can haul it out and give it to all the TV stations.
Phone not down at all. Phone up above the steering wheel so you could see both. You could read and look.
All right, what about it's illegal and you might get spotted by a police officer and get a ticket for it?
Please.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. And everyone on the road who I see doing it at the same time doesn't matter to people.
But what about, don't you see the commercials on the TV where they have a guy who's a paraplegic now because he got hit by a driver who was texting, and then they have the person who's like, it really wasn't worth sending this text to tell my wife I'd be home in 5 minutes to kill, you know, to put this kid in a wheelchair. I mean, you see those commercials. Those are real stories. Those aren't actors of people that are hired.
That, and that's them.
Do you think you're immune to that?
I'm not immune to it. I don't
Lisa,
think
so. Slap him, please.
That's unbelievable.
Seriously, hit him.
I did. Look, he does think he's immune to it.
Kevin is the dumbest guy we know.
How dare you?
Forget you heard that, Kevin. He doesn't even text behind the wheel, right, Kevin?
I don't. If I have to text, If I have to text, I pull over. It isn't that hard. A and B. Nobody needs to get a hold of me that quick.
And Kevin doesn't respond to anybody.
And I'm sure nobody needs to get a hold of you that quick.
Well, listen.
By the way, do you guys use navigation on your phones?
Occasionally, but most it's in the car.
Same thing.
It talks to me.
Yeah, it talks.
No, but you got to input and do all that.
Yeah, you do that before you leave.
And sometimes you're changing it during, you know, while you're on the road.
Nope. You just do it before you leave.
You can't actually access the navigation system in a car while it's moving.
Well, he means on your phone.
Yeah, on your
phone.
Here's
the thing. It isn't that hard not to. That's the thing. It really isn't.
I have often pulled over to answer a test.
But it isn't that hard to either.
Right, says everybody before they get in an accident.
God. I'm just saying there's more people who are not getting in an accident than there are who are getting in an accident.
But is it worth it to be the one who is? Look, if 1,000 people are doing it and only one gets in an accident, Dave, why not make sure you're not that one? And don't just think about you. What about the person you might hit and kill?
That's not going to happen.
Well, I'm glad to know that. I mean, it's reassuring.
Don't listen to Dave, kids. I wanted to bring this up because, I mean, it really, really is serious.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to sound like kids get off my lawn here, but don't look at your phone when you're driving because you can hit and kill somebody, and that's for reals.
Yeah, especially those of you that think it's not going to be you. Especially.
Right. Yeah, and by the way, anyone who's thinking, oh, I'm a dick, blah, 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 listen, you do it too. So don't,
not
you know, get on your high horse
does it, Dave.
And say, oh, I'm a bad person.
I think a lot of people do, but I also think a lot of people really don't.
I believe that.
I think a lot of people do, and I think it's possible that a lot of people are dicks, Dave.
There are a lot of dicks, and apparently I'm one of them.
Although, if you have a chance to take out Bean, maybe you do it.
Kevin, you should have sent the text earlier.
Our next guest has been involved in some of my favorite movies over the past few years, including Million Dollar Baby and Crash, Flags of Our Fathers, Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, and the new film is called Third Person. It opens up in limited release tomorrow. Director, writer, producer, Oscar winner Paul Haggis back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hi, Mr. Haggis. Welcome, sir. How are you?
I am well, but you know what? You're right. I have many, many awards, but I have never had the honor of being on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Are you serious? We were talking about it right before we went to you on the phone, and I swear I thought we talked to you one time before, but if you say no, I believe you. You're smarter than we are.
If I did, then you're just totally forgettable. So.
Yeah, well, that's possible, too. That is possible.
Well, it's great to have you back with a new film called Third Person. What an unbelievable cast on this movie, kids, if you haven't seen the commercials for it. Liam Neeson and Maria Bello and Mila Kunis and Kim Basinger and Adrian Brody and Olivia Wilde and James Franco. The list goes on and on and on. I mean, are you in a position now where pretty much people always say yes to you, or do you still have to plead?
No. I each time you have to approach them, and all these actors stepped up and did this for love. This is an independent film, luckily shot in some beautiful locations. But you have to challenge them. You have to give them something that they want to play, and that's usually something either they haven't played before or haven't played in a long while. Liam Neeson hasn't done a romantic lead in 20 years, and you get to pair him with Olivia Wilde. That was an enticement.
I got to tell you, Paul, a lot of people, I don't know, my impression of people in the movie industry that are super successful pretty much just sit in their offices and people bring them scripts, and if you don't like it, you cut their heads off and then somebody else comes in. I can't imagine it's still that much of a struggle for you.
You know, it took me 5.5 damn years to make this movie. It took 2.5 years to write it, just to get it right. So I just got it wrong so many times. I struggled with this until I just finally allowed the characters to take me wherever they wanted to take me. And they would take me over a cliff. They'd take me into, like, the desert and just leave me there. And then finally would take me to places that were really, really uncomfortable and things I didn't want to look at. And that's when I knew that I had something.
That is so fascinating to hear you say that, to talk about the writing. I mean, you are in control of what your characters do and the words that come out of their mouth and the actions that they take, but you felt like they were leading you. That's so interesting to me.
It Well, I allowed them to do so. We what we'd like to do often is we love to force our characters into plots that they don't necessarily want to be in, and we sort of push them around, and then until we're comfortable enough. And this one, I just decided to do it the wrong way, to write it from the inside out. Huge mistake. But it resulted in something that I'm really proud of.
Do you have a bunch of scripts that are sort of at that point where you just couldn't figure out where they were taking you or where you wanted to go with it, and you hope to someday, but you just they're sitting by the side for a while?
You know, I don't have a bunch of scripts, but I have several stories that you work on for this last Christmas. It was miserable here in New York, and I decided to stay and write because I didn't deserve to be happy and go off to someplace beautiful. And so I wasn't writing. And so I wrote for 8 weeks on a new story, and then got it done and tossed it out. It just didn't excite me.
Just didn't like it. You don't even hang on to it to maybe change it later?
It'll just be depressing. I'll read it again and try it again and spend another 8 weeks and toss it out.
So wow. We are talking to director, writer, producer Paul Haggis about his new film that is opening up in limited release tomorrow. It is called Third Person. We mentioned the great cast. What is it about your movies? And I'm guessing that it's just that they're so personal, Paul, that people have such wildly varied reactions to your films. I'm sure you've been seeing
that happening already. I think The Guardian called this the biggest piece of trash they've ever seen in their life, and others have called it lovely things.
I saw back-to-back reviews last night. One said that it was the unfortunate Paul Haggis movie, and the review right under it said it was the best work of your career. And I'm just thinking, a lot of people, you know, there's generally a consensus on films. Yours always seem to go the love or hate route.
I'm a contrarian. I like to challenge myself, and hopefully if I challenge myself, I challenge the folks who step into the theater. And but I don't set out to do that. This one, I like playing with genres. This one pretends to be just three love stories. It's actually something else. And it's a bit of a puzzle. And it's not a Rubik's Cube. You can figure it out. But I love those movies that so influenced me from the 60s and 70s, especially coming out of Europe, that asked questions that... You asked more questions than answers. And you got to the end, and you had an emotional reaction, but you didn't necessarily know why. And you had to go outside and argue with your friends on the sidewalk or go and have a drink or something to eat. And then I love making those kinds of films. And this was my first chance to really do it in that style. And I think people are going to either love it or hate it. Absolutely.
You're really good at also starting the movies where it looks like you're taking three or four storylines and they're unconnected. And then by the end of the movie, you somehow work them all together. That's seems like an extra.
This one, I set them in three beautiful cities, but three cities where the characters could never meet, New York, Paris, and Rome. And then things start happening that shouldn't happen, and so I have to ask, okay, if that's happening and it can't happen, then what is happening and why?
Oh, I can't wait. We're in our final moment here, Paul, and we promised our audience that we would ask you about the Olivia Wilde running naked in the staircase scene.
And that was great. Olivia, I worked with three times. I like working with actors many times. And this one, I said, Olivia, if you do this movie, you're going to be buck naked for me, and because it's important for this, you know, this movie.
Right.
And she went, okay. She read the script, but okay. And it is such a charming and beautiful and romantic scene. It's funny. It was so much fun to see on screen and to shoot. How bad is that? I just closed off the set. It was just me and the DP. But she made it so comfortable for everybody. I mean, I think she told a story of, you know, between shots, she's standing around in the passing up pizza. She's standing there stark naked eating pizza.
Wow. You have the best job in the world.
I do have the very best job in the world.
Now, Paul, you did include 100% of that footage in the movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
Good. Okay, good.
I cut the pizza out. I didn't think that was necessary.
Well, we know how to sell a movie to our audience, and they just decided they're going to see Third Person. Opening up tomorrow with a wider release to follow. A great thrill to talk to you, Mr. Haggis. Thanks for the time today. We enjoyed
it. Thank you so much for having me.
You bet.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
You think Ralph had jury duty, or do you think he had jury duty?
I think he had jury duty.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he got to. I mean, he went to the trouble to get up and come in.
I'd say so, yeah.
That's what I'd do if I was trying to cover my lie, too.
But what's that? There's no fun in that if you can't sleep in.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so Ralph's gone. We'll take a look at the showbiz beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. Sports is entertainment, right?
Sure.
Sure.
Then I'm going to declare the biggest show business story of today. Mother effing Clayton Kershaw throwing a no-hitter for the Los Angeles Dodgers last night. By the way, this Clayton Kershaw kid, and I don't just say this because he's related to Clyde Tombaugh, who discovered Pluto. He is the best pitcher in baseball by far. He's won two Cy Youngs already in the last 3 years. He was the runner-up the year he didn't win, Kevin. Last night, he threw a no-hitter. You know why he didn't have a perfect game? You know why one Colorado Rocky got on base?
No.
Throwing error from the shortstop.
Oh, you're kidding.
How much does that suck that you missed out on a perfect game because Hanley Ramirez threw a ball wide of first base? That's the only reason he didn't end up with a perfect game.
Was he under a lot of pressure? Was it a slow grounder? And it took
not
a while
at all.
To get to
all,
it? Really?
All the time in the world.
Oh,
just boofed it. Unbelievable. Well, congratulations to Clayton Kershaw. It doesn't happen all that often, but remarkably, it's happened twice in 1 month for the Dodgers. They threw a no-hitter. I mean, this and the team is only 4 games back, so congratulations to Clayton and the Dodgers. Too bad most of your fans couldn't see it on TV.
A lot of people love the Game of Thrones.
Yes, I do.
It's a very popular show. Yesterday, on Queen Elizabeth's Twitter feed... Queen Elizabeth
I can't even imagine
tweets.
Where this is going.
Please. She says she's going to be visiting the set of the HBO show next week when she's in Northern Ireland for a 3-day visit. And
yes. Yeah, is she going to sit in the Iron Throne, or does she not care about that because she's got the real throne?
The cat's doing the Game of Thrones theme. She just says that she's a huge fan and wants to tour it and meet everybody and see it.
I can't imagine that she watches all the sex, death, and destruction.
I'm not buying it.
No.
I don't even think she watches TV.
Look,
I know you love her. Blah,
I
blah,
love
blah.
The queen. Well, let me finish, though. I think I'm speaking to your point here. I think I'm agreeing with you. I don't remember the queen ever making a reference to anything that's going on in pop culture. The queen isn't one of those people who talks about how she loves Beyonce or talks about going to the movies or anything like that. I mean, she's so far removed from all of that stuff. I'm frankly shocked that she even knows what Game of Thrones is, if she in fact does.
Or whoever tweets for her wanted it to appear like she knows what's going on.
But why would you set yourself up for something that's obviously a lie? Because now if you're tweeting that, the queen has to go to the Game of Thrones set. Otherwise, you're just putting something out there that isn't going to happen.
She doesn't know where she is anymore, Bean. Come on. Get with it.
That is a surprising story, isn't it?
Do you follow her on Twitter?
I don't, actually.
What?
I don't follow the queen. I follow a limited number of people, but I do love her. Hey, I thought this was interesting, you guys. Spotify, which is one of the world's most popular music streaming services, just came out with their list of the top 5 most streamed artists on Spotify under 25 years old.
All right.
So these are young people who are getting it done big time. Let me tell you some of the numbers that were involved here. Number 5 is Taylor Swift. Her songs are streamed 800,000 times a day on Spotify.
Wow.
You guys care to guess who else rounds out the top 5? If Taylor, and you know how big she is, if she's number 5, who else is on this list? Under 25 years old.
Justin Bieber. Yeah.
Justin Bieber not in the top 5.
Yes!
I think he's starting to fade you guys, for reals.
I love it. One Direction?
One Direction is number 4. Their songs are streamed about 1 million times a day.
Under 25 years old. I would say...
Lord is number 2. Well done, Muggs.
Wow.
Her song Royals, by the way, has been streamed 160 million times.
God.
That one song, 160 million times it's been streamed. She is number 2 on the list. Number 3 is Miley Cyrus.
Sure.
And number 1.
Number 1 most streamed song.
Under 25, you got Taylor, One Direction, Miley, Lord. Who's number 1?
Pharrell.
Under 25 years old. Pharrell's a good guess.
No.
Avicii.
Avicii!
Avicii has topped 1 billion streams of his songs.
Billion streams. That's not even close.
So even though we always hear how you're not going to get rich on Spotify, you know, getting whatever tiny percentage you get for a stream is not what you used to get when you sold a song. It starts adding up. If you're streaming 1 billion times, now you're getting into some real money.
Yeah.
I bet. He's doing all right for himself.
I heard the Queen Elizabeth is going to attend the Avicii show next week, and she loves him.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Hugh Dancy turns 39 years old. He's the star of Hannibal, you guys.
So good.
And he's also married to Claire Danes. Hugh is 39. I mentioned that. Poppy Montgomery, the actress, is 39 years old today. Zoe Saldana turns 36. Macklemore, 31 today. Actor Paul Dano is 30. And singer Paula Abdul, who was rescued from obscurity a number of years ago by American Idol. Then, since she left American Idol, completely back to obscurity.
Yep.
almost doesn't even exist anymore. Paul is 52 today, and that's the showbiz beat.
The reason that you're shaking up this whole competition is that you dare to dance in the path of greatness.
Excellent. Good.
Very excited to welcome Landon Donovan from the Los Angeles Galaxy to the show in about a half an hour. We're talking about the World Cup. You know, I haven't started watching the World Cup yet because I got all my money on Spain, obviously. So I'm just going to wait and tune in for the final game. You know, just watch them win the title again. Sure. So I feel like I'm going to be sad.
One of the craziest things I've ever seen.
Spain, they're so sad now.
Spain won the World Cup in 2010, the very last World Cup there was. And they've already been eliminated.
Yeah. I think they were the first team out, weren't they?
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's insane.
It's insane. But good luck with that bet.
I hope that comes through for you. Also, Adam Kroll on the program and Dr. Drew as well. So we were thinking, Kevin, that it might be fun. We got a couple things planned for you. Because today's Kevin's last show for folks who have not been paying attention.
Until after vacation.
Kevin is leaving the Kevin and Bean Show today and then leaving the planet sometime in the next 2 weeks because he's probably not going to come back from Brazil. He's heading down there for the World Cup. So we have a couple things planned for you. We're going to be taking listener phone calls later of their favorite Kevin memories.
Oh, that's nice.
I'd rather that didn't happen.
We're going to count down the top 10 moments with of all time that you have provided.
I would vote against that.
Because that'll be how we all want to remember you. And we thought it might be fun right now because you're going to be on so many planes starting tomorrow, not only getting down to Brazil, but within the country itself, going to all the various stadiums to see games, that we thought it might be fun to open up the phone lines for travel nightmares here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Well, here's the thing. Brazil is larger than the United States. So if the United States was hosting the World Cup, like we would have games in Chicago and Florida and L.A. and all over the place. So it could be a 4, 5, 6 hour flight from one place to the next.
Right. So what are the chances that things are going to go smoothly for you, that you're going to be able to get to the airport, get on the plane, get to the next airport, get to the game? I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong.
100%. I think it's perfectly fine. I'm all good.
I think you can count on luggage that goes missing.
Nope,
I think
we're not. We're carrying on our luggage everywhere we go.
I think you can count on malaria for sure. There's no question about
that. That's going to happen, yes.
And probably getting robbed. So we want to take your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have had a travel nightmare, if you've been one of these people who was stuck on a runway for 6 hours. By the way, Lisa, did that happen to you one time?
In Cancun. It was really hot. And this was before they passed all those new laws where they can't do that.
Right. Well, those new laws wouldn't have affected you in Mexico anyway, probably.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And all of the crew disappeared into the back of the plane. The air conditioning in the plane was off.
For 6 hours?
For 6 hours. Oh. No one would tell us anything. There was no food. They didn't have, like, ice water. There was nothing. And, I mean, I thought I was with my ex-husband. And he's the kind of person who explodes. Like, he's not a good traveler anyway.
Right.
And the whole time I'm just thinking, oh, God, don't do anything that gets you arrested. And then we're going to be stuck here forever.
Awesome.
But no one would tell us anything. It was the worst experience.
Here's
my
traveling back from Mexico story. Got on the plane. Something was wrong. They didn't have a mechanic. So the pilot says, I'm going to go take a look. Now, literally, we're on the plane and we see a little guy out on the runway with a flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just like looking at the plane with a flashlight. And I was like, is this a sign that perhaps since we don't have somebody who knows how to fix a plane, and we have a pilot with a flashlight, maybe this is one of those messages that we're supposed to receive and get the F off of this plane.
And by the way, they don't want you to get off.
Oh, no, they don't.
Really,
they will not allow it.
Really don't.
Yeah. It's crazy, but I don't think any of that's going to happen to me. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back whatever we're talking about next.
There are screening calls right now at 1-800-520-1067 for travel disasters. There are so many people now, by the way, my dad is one of them, who just refuses to fly anymore.
Really?
Because too much hassle?
Just too much hassle. And too many things go wrong, and it's too unpredictable. I mean, I think, and Kevin, I think you're pretty good at this, is that you have to just have the mindset that it's out of your control.
Yeah, I am good at that.
And that you're going to survive it. And as uncomfortable and unpleasant as it is at the time, you don't have any choice. It doesn't help to throw a tantrum.
Yeah.
It doesn't help to make yourself sick over it. I mean, I went to Nashville last month. And there was some weather in the Midwest, and for that reason, they closed the Dallas airport. So I was connecting through Dallas. So my plane was, fortunately, we hadn't boarded yet, but we were 3 hours late leaving Seattle. Then we got to Dallas, and we were 4 hours late leaving Dallas.
Whoa. Sweet.
So in your mind, you're thinking, hey, I'm going to be in Nashville by, you know, 7:30 having dinner. And then in reality, you land and it's 1 freaking a.m. I mean, those are the types of things that you just have to expect are possible if you're going to be traveling on airfare these days.
Yeah. I'm taking one flight to Miami and then another one from Miami to Brazil. And it's about 6 hours each leg, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll be on time. I've done some research, and I feel like everything's going to work out well.
Well, let's see what Tanya's got to say. She gets us going here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're looking for your travel disasters. We're looking for you got robbed, you got sick, you got stuck. What happened to you? Tanya, thanks so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened, my dear?
So I was in London starting a one-month trip, backpacking trip with my best friend through Italy, and it was 2005. We were on our way to the airport, and a 45-minute trip took 3 hours to get to the airport because of so much traffic. Once we got into the airport, you just see like soldiers with guns everywhere you go, pointed at everybody. We didn't know what's going on. It turned out that was the first day of the liquid bomb scares, where you can't take any more than 2 ounces of liquid on planes.
Right.
You're stuck in the London airport for like 8 hours trying to make it to day one of our month-long Italy adventure.
Did you just camp out in the airport and then fly home?
Well, no. We were able to secure the first flight to Milan that was legit getting out of the country. My best friend was like, well, we better find some way to get home. I said, you sit your butt there, and we are going to wait, and we are going to call the airlines from some random airport in London using money we didn't really know
right.
how to use. We didn't know where we were going, what was going on. We had reservations set up for every single day of our Italy trip.
Yeah.
Good times. But at least, thank you for the call, Tanya. We appreciate that. At least she had a month, by the way. And
yes.
If you screw up a day, you've still got a month. You know what I mean? Kevin's deal is he's landing in an airport and expects to be in a World Cup stadium 45 minutes later. I mean, you got a pretty tight schedule, right?
And we have to paint Funny Brad's face. So
that's going to take time.
That's going to take a little bit of time.
And nipples, too.
Sure, yeah. All right, we need to take a break. We'll talk to Peter. We'll talk to Steve. Everybody else, 1-800-520-1067.
Landon Donovan talks World Cup coming up next here on the world-famous K-Rock. First, though, we're talking about flying and travel disasters. My man Kevin is leaving for Brazil tomorrow. Raul writes in, hey, Bean, since the passengers can't call in because they're all dead, don't forget to tell Kevin about the Air France flight that crashed leaving Brazil back in 2009. So you got that going for you.
That's good.
A little bit of history on your side. Let's take a few more calls. How about, I love Peter. Peter's on line one. He's calling us from Corona today. Let's get him going.
Hey, Peter. Hello, Peter.
Going once.
Oh, it's got a good story.
Going twice.
Morning, Kevin and Bean.
Oh, there he is. All right. What's happening, dude?
Morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
We covered all that, actually. Go ahead.
We were on our return flight from Hawaii, and it was the last flight of the day, and we got to the gate and hear that our flight was canceled. Next day, we hear that from one of the crew members that the pilot was drunk and he had too many Mai Tais.
The pilot was drunk. How often do you hear that?
Well, we were at the hotel, and then luckily they put us up for the night, and then we were just at the brunch area, and we hear from other crew members.
I guess it's better that they canceled that flight rather than didn't and just put you on it, right, with Denzel Washington flying the thing. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Kyle. He's up next on line two, please, Van Nuys. Hi, Kyle.
Good morning, Kevin Bean, Lisa
Hi.
May.
Hello.
So I'm headed to London for my first tour ever in the Europe.
Okay.
And as soon as I get on the freeway, terrible traffic accident, 3 hours, miss my flight.
Excellent.
$350 later, get a connecting flight to Minneapolis, -4, flight gets canceled.
Yeah.
Eat at the subway at Minneapolis Airport, get food poisoning, get on my flight the next day from Minneapolis to Boston, which was terrible, and then from Boston to London, 26 hours later than I was supposed to be. My band was not happy.
Wow.
That is unbelievable. You're not going on the flight with me tomorrow, though, right? Because I think that's all you.
I don't know. I was thinking about going to the World Cup.
Nope.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to Dana. He is on line 7 from Mission Viejo. He has a flight delay from something I've never heard of before.
Hey, Dana.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Yeah, quite an interesting flight from L.A. to Philadelphia. Hopped on the plane, sat on the tarmac in L.A. for 2 hours due to a fueling issue. Got a connection in Philadelphia, but about 2 hours into the flight, we think everything's going good. I may be able to make it. The pilot gets on the mic and says, we're going to have to make an emergency landing in Kansas City due to an odor emanating from the back of the plane.
An odor?
Well, lo and behold, there's a service dog that is back in the back, and the service dog decided it needed to relieve itself.
Oh, no.
And people were starting to get sick, and it actually made the national news. A couple of friends of mine said, we did hear that story, right?
This isn't the one. How long ago was your incident, though, Dana?
It was about three weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's the one we heard about.
Yeah.
Wow. You were on that plane.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The funny thing was I was sitting next to a pilot, and he had been flying for years and was retiring about 10 months, and he just said, this is the first.
Yeah, no kidding. And hopefully last. Yeah.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Do we want to take one? Let's cut our losses here so we have more time with Landon, shall we?
All right. But I would like to play this little clip, and I would like to say that I pray to God she's not on our flight.
You're my savior!
Freaking out on a plane.
God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
She's been freaking out for the last 20 minutes. She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother. And then she's been like this for the last, 15, 20 minutes.
Somebody needs to blow dart her right in the neck, dude.
No, she's sitting right next to you.
Oh, man.
How about Lollapalooza in Chicago the first weekend of August? We can hook you up or at least get you qualified with K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014. It is stop number one, Kings of Leon, Foster the People, Eminem, the Arctic Monkeys, Lord, and so much more. 9:10 this morning. We'll give you a chance to qualify. And then several times throughout the day at 12:10, 3:10, and 6:10. You can also go to K-Rock.com for more details and your chance to qualify. Hit it, Steve.
Shoot and score. Perfect ball for Donovan. Second touch needs to be through. Donovan. Yes. Trick. Beckham chips it back in. The header and a goal. Landon Donovan finds it. Scores his sixth goal of the season. A wonder goal from Donovan. His 12th of the season. Goal. Landon Donovan again.
One of the most recognizable faces in American soccer. The all-time leading scorer. Three-time MLS Cup champion, Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan. Charlie Davies. Utmanar på Sanders Santos. Tillbaka mot Donovan. Ska det bli två mål här? Vilket läge! Ja!
He is number 10 for your Los Angeles Galaxy, a man who has represented our country in three World Cups, now doing commentary for this year's tournament, and he joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Landon, welcome back, man.
Good morning.
Great to talk to you. I have noted you on the TV a couple times lately saying, I didn't realize how stressful it was to watch these World Cup matches. This must be quite an adjustment for you.
I honestly had no idea. When you watch other countries play, you get into the game, you get excited. You know, Switzerland beat Ecuador really late the other day. It was exciting, but when you watch a bunch of your teammates and friends, when you watch your country and you realize what's going on back home during all this, it's just draining. Emotionally, it's draining.
Landon, I don't expect you to comment because you have moved past this in a very admirable way. But when Jozy Altidore went down, I was screaming at Jurgen Klinsmann. Like, I wonder if there's anyone else he could put in right now. Now, I know that you've been very cool and you've moved past it. You said you were disappointed. Now you're doing some commentary and you seem to be perfectly fine. I'm not. I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, I get that same comment from a lot of people, including family members and friends. The reality is, it is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
And I could complain and moan about it all I want, but I chose the path that's life. I mean, I've had most of my career, I've had all these kind of decisions go my way, and it's not the worst thing in the world to have to have something go against you. And I've learned from it. I've grown from it. Obviously, I wish I was there, of course.
Yeah.
But the reality is the reality, and you just get on with it. It's part of life.
Absolutely. Now, looking ahead toward Portugal, what does it mean to have Josie out? How much does that hurt the U.S.?
It hurts a lot. There's no question. There's no player on our roster who plays the way like Josie, the way Josie plays. The only comparable guy, and he's not part of the roster, would be someone like Eddie Johnson. So we don't have someone who is a like-for-like substitution for Josie. But there's plenty of guys who have done well and who have been waiting for an opportunity. Aaron Johansson came in the other day. I think it was thrown into the fire a little bit because of the way the game was, and he didn't really get himself going in the way he can.
Right.
But he's a good player. Chris Wondolowski plays here for the San Jose Earthquakes, and he's been a very good goal scorer consistently for 5 or 6 years now. So he's a guy that if he's in the game and he gets a chance, more often than not he's going to score. So there's different options. You could obviously play Clint up high by himself and bring in another midfielder. There's all sorts of different ways that Jurgen and the coaching staff can go, and it'll be real interesting to see how they adjust tactically in that way.
How surprised were you and happy when Dempsey scored that goal? What was it, 34 seconds in? I mean, I'd barely gotten a beer. I wasn't even ready.
I know. Well, I was doing the pregame stuff for ESPN, so I was in a little studio, and I walk about 10 steps next door to the green room where I was sitting and watching the games, and I sat down, I had a bottle of water, I was just relaxing, and next thing, I didn't even see the play happen. I just saw Clint going in on goal, and it was kind of like, what's going on here? And next thing you know, he scores, and you don't even know what to do, because part of you thinks, like, there's going to be a whistle somewhere. This can't be happening.
Right.
And so, but what happened, I think, is that a lot of times when you score that early, your human nature is, okay, we can relax a little bit.
Right.
Drop off a little bit. And I think that kind of hurt us until they scored. But then the reaction after that was obviously very American and a fantastic response to getting scored on.
All right. We play Portugal next, who's also in the group of death with us.
Yep.
They got destroyed by Germany, 4-0. They looked bad, and Ronaldo looked bad. He may be injured or whatever, but do you think Portugal comes back stronger because they're angry, or are they defeated?
It's tough. I really think it's a coin flip. I think they'll start the game upbeat and excited and energetic. If I were in that locker room with the U.S. team, I would be saying, let's get after them early and try to score a goal, because I think if you score a goal, they could absolutely fall apart, and that would be my mentality. You have to remember, a lot of these guys that play for Portugal, that play for Spain that you saw yesterday, that play for big teams, they're used to winning all the time.
Right.
And when they lose 1-0 or 2-1. They don't get demolished like they did against Germany. So when you see them go down a couple goals, you see the frustration come out. You see the red card. They fall apart because they're not used to it. There's some teams that are used to getting beat 2 or 3-0, and they know how to handle it. Cristiano Ronaldo hasn't been a part of a team that's lost 4-0 in probably a long time. So you can see that they're not accustomed to it. And I think if the U.S. team jumps on them early, there's a real good chance to win the game.
So Clint needs to score in less than 34 seconds?
I think that would be the ideal scenario.
Okay, yeah. Good.
This is the voice of our friend Landon Donovan here on the Kevin Beach Show. We'll tell you how you can watch the game with a great Galaxy party this Sunday here in just a minute. But Landon, you touched on something that I wanted to ask your opinion on. Why are there so many high-scoring games this World Cup? I mean, they're blowing records out. These games that we're seeing where a team scores 4 goals, even 5 goals against Spain, why is it happening? Is there an answer?
It's fascinating to see. I think it's a couple fold. One is there's been some really poor goalkeeping, and that's been pretty strange to see, because normally in these World Cups you get pretty solid goalkeeping. That's not, you know, there's obviously been some big blunders in goal, but there's also been some small plays where a goalie doesn't come out for a cross and the guy scores. A goalie leaves a rebound and a guy scores. There's been a lot of those kind of plays that's been really sort of bizarre to see at this level. And then teams are just getting better and better. I think the way Spain has revolutionized the game in the last 5 years, teams are more attacking-minded. They know how to keep possession and break teams down. It's just been there's been an explosion in goal scoring and better play overall, and I think that's why you're seeing so many goals.
Do you think that Spain revolutionizing the game will help them feel better on their flight home?
I'm not sure you take much consolation in that.
Yeah.
The reality is their run had to end at some point. I don't think anyone imagined it would happen this way or this dramatically, but the run had to end at some point. But really, the way they've changed the game has been incredible. And you see a lot of teams now playing the way that they started to play probably 5 or 6 or maybe even more years ago. And, you know, they should be able to hold their heads high once they get over this disappointment.
I heard one theory about Spain that I thought was interesting, Landon. I want to see if this holds any water with you. And that is, because they are the reigning World Cup champs, they did not have to qualify for 2014. Therefore, there's not as much pressure on it in the games leading up to the World Cup to really make it. You know how hard it is to get into the World Cup. They could kind of relax a little bit because they were already in. Therefore, they weren't as battle-tested as some of the other clubs by the time they got down there.
Well, I think they've played in a lot of big games. I mean, I don't think that can be the only reason. Perhaps there's some truth to that, but those guys have all played in a lot of big games. A number of those guys played in the Champions League final a couple weeks ago.
Right.
So they know what it's like. They know what it's about. I just think that Netherlands game really deflated them. And when, like I said, with Portugal, those guys aren't used to losing 5-1. Most of them have probably never been a part of a game like that in a really long time. So once it got 2-0 or once they got down 2 goals or 3 goals or 4 goals, they just fell apart. And you have to give Chile credit, too. Chile's a very good team.
Yeah.
They're playing in Brazil, which is obviously very close geographically to Chile. So they had a lot of fans. It was like a home game for them, and they deserved to win.
Let's talk about the LA Galaxy World Cup viewing party, USL versus Portugal, which is this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Game starts at 3 o'clock. Tell people how to get involved in that.
Well, the Galaxy have done a great job putting on these viewing parties. They had one at the Hermosa Pier last week for the U.S. Ghana game. I think there was a couple thousand people there. I wanted to go, but unfortunately I have commitments to broadcasting now. But they're going to do it at Lot 613 downtown. People get a couple beers, free food, and they can watch the game and hang out. And it should be a really good time. All the benefits go to the L.A. Galaxy Foundation, so it's a good cause. And it's fun. I think people really enjoy getting together and being in an environment where they can hang out together and watch the game. And Sunday should be an absolutely great game. I'm really excited for it.
It's so much better to watch the game with a bunch of other people who are equally excited. That makes all the difference in the world.
Unless you lose.
Unless you lose, right. And then you're really bummed.
Proceeds benefit the LA Galaxy Foundation. You can get details at LAGalaxy.com. Buy tickets at joinordie.LAGalaxy.com. By the way, Landon, you picked a great time to be doing this commentary on ESPN. I know you have seen the ratings. 16 million people watched that first U.S. game. That's as compared, by the way, to 6 million people watching the Stanley Cup final game last Friday night that the Kings won. So soccer is here in a big way, and we all have our fingers crossed for the U.S. men's team. We're so excited about what's going on down there in Brazil. And we love watching your coverage. I hope we get a chance to talk to you again before it's all over.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. It's World Famous K-Rock at 7:55.
What if I were to tell you it's Kevin's last show today? He's leaving for Brazil tomorrow.
Yep.
Probably.
But I'm not moving there.
Well, you're not coming back either, buddy. We are going to do our tribute to Kevin next half hour here on the Kevin DeBede Show. We're going to be including your phone calls and your favorite Kevin memories. And we're also going to count down the top 10 moments with of all time. Can you imagine how much fun that's going to be, Lisa?
That's the best.
I don't know that we've ever done a retrospective, Kevin, of the top 10 moments with of all time with you.
Yeah, I can't wait.
It's going to be super fun. In the meantime, Ralph is at jury duty, or so he claims, so we're taking a look at the Showbiz Beat. A lot of big Netflix news to get us started. Netflix has really revolutionized TV watching for millions and millions of us. I can't imagine not having it and missing out on things like Arrested Development and House of Cards and Orange is the New Black. They've got two new things that they're talking about this week. One is good news, and that is that Martin Sheen has just joined the cast of a new Netflix 13-episode comedy that's going to be called Grace and Frankie. Here's the plot line. Lisa, you are so all over this. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin play best friends.
Yes.
Out.
Their husbands, one of whom will be played by Martin Sheen, just announced. The other husband has not been announced. leave their wives and decide to marry each other.
In
that's the plot of the new Netflix show.
Sounds awesome.
It sounds like there's a lot of room for comedy there and pain. It's called Grace and Frankie. That's going to debut next year. Look, anything that Martin Sheen is, I will have a look. Now, the other news, not so great, and that is that, and I don't know how this is going to work because Netflix, you know, we're used to them putting up 13 episodes of a thing and we watch it whenever we want. How's it going to work if they have a talk show?
A talk show?
Now, a talk show, you would imagine most of them have some timeliness to them, right?
Yes.
Of course. So I don't know if it's going to be, if Netflix is going to be more like a network where every week they have a talk show, but it is going to be hosted by Chelsea Handler.
Wow.
That is bad news.
What a misstep.
But you can miss it. Probably.
You can miss
easy.
It.
But if you're Netflix, aren't you running on success after success?
Yeah, they haven't missed yet.
House of Cards, and then Orange is the New Black,
I'm sorry,
who? Chelsea Handler?
Here's the thing, Kevin. As hard as it is for us to believe, Chelsea Handler was very popular on E! She's the one who walked away from them. They didn't fire her or cancel her. She said, I don't want to do it anymore.
No.
She has fans, for reals.
No.
So she is going to be doing a talk show. I almost said late night, but I guess that's not true because nothing's live as far as I know on Netflix. So she's going to be doing a talk show, and she's also going to be doing some mini comedy documentaries is what she says.
No.
Talk show is going to launch in early 2016. So if you are a Chelsea Handler fan, that's for you.
Early 2016?
I guess
she
it takes a while
vacation.
To
I'm
get that busy. Up and running, I guess.
I see this story all over the place, and it's very frustrating. Katy Perry.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently hanging out with Twilight star Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
There was a party for the latest movie, The Rover, and Radar Online says they were, quote, all over each other.
Now, your problem with that is what? Is that he's just too flimsy for her, or he's just not you?
Too mopey?
He needs a boy more his age.
Okay. All right.
That's my point. It's just not acceptable. She's Katy Perry.
She does not have a type, does she? Katy Perry.
No.
I mean,
I don't
when
think
you,
so.
I mean, how different is he from John Mayer? And who was she? Who was the DJ she was just dating? Who was she with?
DJ.
Diplo.
Diplo. She was with Diplo. Yeah, I mean, and then to Robert Pattinson?
Yeah,
not a type.
Yeah, that's not a type. And I doubt it's happening. I'd just like to say that I just distrust this story.
If I would have told you 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago that in 2014 a new record would come out and sell more than 40,000 copies on vinyl, you probably would not have believed me. But it just happened. It's the highest week for vinyl in SoundScan history. That's how they count sales that started back in the very early 1990s. And it's held by, no surprise, Jack White, who is the king of the old school.
Sure.
40,000 copies on vinyl of his new album called Lazaretto. By the way, it does debut at number one on the pop album charts. He sold another 140,000 copies, regular too. So Jack White, one of the few rock stars out there who's actually selling records, and a lot of them are on vinyl. But remember, you know, for people who love Jack White like I do, the vinyl's the only way to get some of the songs. You know, they're not available digitally, not available on the CD. You got to play the label of the album if you want to hear some of those songs. So
when we did breakfast with him, I know I brought this up before, but I'm still fascinated by this. We in the green room, we were talking to him beforehand, and I noticed that he had his iPhone in a wine glass.
Uh-huh.
Or like a wide mouth glass.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'm starting to change the subject, but is your iPhone in a glass? And he said, yeah, it totally makes it louder. Listen, and he pulled it out, and it almost disappeared. And he put it back in the glass, and it was like a external speaker.
Now, have you tried that at home since you saw him do it? Because I've done it since then, and it 100%
works.
It's amazing.
It does work.
It's like you plugged in an amplifier, Lisa, and now all of a sudden your phone is booming.
I love that.
But how do you – I've often thought about this since the breakfast. How do you discover that works? Who goes – I need to put my phone in a glass because it'll sound better.
There must have been some sort of sound engineer somewhere or something who was playing around with it. I don't know, but it's a fantastic tip to learn from Jack White, that's for sure. Today's celebrity birthdays, terrific actor Hugh Dancy, one of the stars of Hannibal, turns 39 years old today, same age as actress Poppy Montgomery, celebrating hers as well. Zoe Saldana from Star Trek is 36 today. Is she Star Trek? She's Avatar. Is she both?
Yeah.
She's both, right?
She's both, yeah.
Macklemore is 31, actor Paul Dano from There Will Be Blood turns 30, and singer Paula Abdul, 52 today, and that's the K-Rock Show. It's getting real now, man. You must feel like a short timer looking at the clock and realizing.
I am looking at the clock, but only because I'm excited to go.
You're almost out of K-Rock, dude. This has been a significant part of your life working here on the Kevin
DeBoer Show. Not because I'm excited about not coming back. This is a fantastic job.
I think the chances...
I'm here for the lifetime, Bean.
I agree with you. You're here for the lifetime, which is probably your final show because you're likely to come back from Brazil, if at all, in a body bag. So here's what we're going to be doing. This half hour, we're going to be doing our tribute to Kevin as we say goodbye to him as he leaves not only the show but the earth. In the next segment, we want to take your calls. If you have any special memories of Kevin, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-106. If you want to call up and share something that you'll never stop laughing about that you heard Kevin do or saw him do, we want to take your calls. First, though, we thought this might be a great time to count down the top 10 moments with Kevin of all time.
Mm. What a crazy raging debate there has been on which ones are the worst.
It's tough.
Now, how do you narrow down a file of 1,000 just to 10?
Yeah.
Now, Kevin, for folks who maybe haven't listened much, describe what a moment with is.
Well, basically, I know in my head what I want to say, but what comes out of my mouth is very, 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 very different. And sometimes the grammar is completely mixed up. Sometimes the words are mixed up. There are a lot of times when I don't have any idea what I'm saying. And so we put them in the form of a moment with. It's got a little intro, a little outro. And if I could just say, there's probably 1,000 of those of me. There's probably 75 for Bean and 20 for Lisa.
Yeah, that's about right.
And that's just not cool.
Well, every year at the end of the calendar year, we count down the top 10 moments of the year. And Kevin usually has about 8 of them. But this is the first time we've ever looked at all time because it's his last show. So we thought, why not? So let's get it started with the top 10 Kevin's moments with of all time. And we'll start with number 10.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
By the way, just for the movie theaters, there's not one size that fits all.
Yeah.
That was a moment.
Was so good.
Now, by the way, Bean made a rule, and I think it's a correct rule, that Lisa is not allowed to help me.
So I stopped.
Right.
After everyone yelled at me.
When I'm stumbling, everybody just sits back with a grin on their face and just goes, die, sucker.
Just enjoy it. Don't try to – look, watch the nice man drown. Don't jump in and try to save him. All right, number 9, we're going back a few years, and this is a bizarre one, Kevin, because this isn't you having trouble coming up with a word.
Nope.
This is you knowing a word. It's just the wrong one.
I sometimes think too far ahead, Bean. That's my issue.
Uh-huh.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
That was a moment with Kevin.
How? Why? Who?
The color red was 3 seconds from the color blue in that sentence. So I don't know.
Number 8 in the best moments with Kevin of all time, and I believe this one is just from earlier this year, 2014, and we had a raging debate on this one, trying to figure out what it was he was trying to say when this came out.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
They'll probably have his picture there with a sudden little...
That was a moment with Kevin.
Yes. And by the way, if you guys think asking me what I was saying helps, it doesn't. No. So basically, everybody just has to try and figure it out.
Number 7, we go back a few years now, and if I recall correctly, we were interviewing that crazy family down in Arkansas, wherever they live. What are they, the Duggins, I think? They have like 22 kids.
Duggars.
The Duggars. And they still keep having more kids. Well, I think they only had about 20 at the time when Kevin asked this insightful question.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
That was a moment with Kevin.
What do you think it is in me that feels like I need to finish? Like, I've already destroyed the sentence. Why do I keep going?
I would like to see that question diagrammed too, if we have any English majors out there.
Impossible.
Like to figure out how those words fit together. Number 6, one of our favorite memories. Look, Kevin loves this guy. We've had him as a guest a dozen times, but somehow he just couldn't get his name right.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
For those of you who didn't see, Rob Durden is part of Rob and Big. And we'll talk more about that and more with Rob Durden. Again, Rob is getting 41. Rob Durden is in the studio. He is half of Rob and Big.
That was a moment
with Kevin.
Yeah, then we called him later, Rob Dyrdek, of course. We called him later, and he said he just found it funny. He didn't want to correct me because he thought it was funny.
Number five, I still don't know what the hell's going on here.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Lick her bare neck than I would her boobs with a sweater over them.
I don't know, so that's a toss-up.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Any thoughts as to what could be happening
I'm
there?
Just looking at the clock. We're pretty late. We should probably move on.
Now, number four is interesting because I think Kevin got out all the words that he was trying to say properly and in the correct order, but his logic fell apart. Listen up.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
What's 1207 in military time, my friend?
Say 1709? What?
1709?
What? Hold on. Lisa? I don't know. I was thinking 22.
But, I'm
but that wouldn't be 17 either, would it?
Why would we jump ahead 2 minutes? Why would it become 09 all of a sudden?
I don't know.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Thoughts?
This sure is fun.
Rashida Jones.
Oh, come on.
Beautiful. Yes. Talented. One of our favorite people, favorite actresses. We love her so much. Of course, she was one of the stars of The Office, and Kevin asked her this question about that role.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Did you know that going into when you started on the second Office, when you were on the outside Office, not the main one?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
At least you could tell where I was going with that one, even though I didn't get there.
We had Captain Dustin Brown from the Los Angeles Kings on the air with us yesterday. And Kevin's a huge Kings fan. He could talk to him all day. But one of the questions that he asked, he did talk to him all day. It was about a 45-second question.
Yeah.
And that was in the tradition of this number two in the all-time moments with Kevin, where he asked a similar long-winded question to the great Travis Pastrana.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there some good accidents happen in this. And not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else. And it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
All right, I have some insight on that one. About halfway through, my mind is going, shut up, shut up, stop talking, shut up. And I ignore it.
Was there a question for Travis at any point in that?
I don't believe so.
Okay. It's time, ladies and gentlemen, Kevin's final show before he dies in Brazil, the number one all-time moment with Kevin.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Is that – so he doesn't – are you a regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
How could it not be?
No,
how could it not
be?
All right, let's take one call real quick before the break.
We don't need
to. Let's go to Maria. She's on line two. She's in El Monte. She's going to get us started here as we invite our listeners to call in and share their favorite Kevin memories at 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Maria.
Strawberry ice cream.
Oh, strawberry ice cream.
Now, what's your memory of that story and how what you heard about it, how it unfolded?
Mine?
Yes.
I have a picture of Kevin in a hotel room waking up to find strawberry ice cream smeared all over the walls.
Yeah, it was actually my home, and I got some strawberry ice cream before I went to sleep. And when I woke up, there was literally strawberry ice cream all over the wall. That's one of those situations where I would give $1 million to have a video of what went on while I was supposedly sleeping.
Was it Ambien, Kevin?
I don't know. May have been. Yeah. Let's say it's Ambien. Because weird things happen on Ambien.
That was a great one. Thanks so much for the call. All right, we'll take your calls. Your favorite memories of Kevin, 1-800-520-1067, when we return right after this second.
That's 6.7.
Come on, buddy. We're all having fun now. Come on.
Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 as we remember the great Kevin Ryder of the Kevin and Bean Show on his final program. Hey, let's go to Doug to get us going for this segment, please. He's on line 7 calling us from Baldwin Park. We're all reminiscing about our favorite Kevin moments over the years, favorite memories. Hey, Doug, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I forgot about this one.
I like when Kevin, came back from vacation without his wedding ring in his pants.
Talk about you got a lot of splaining to do, Kevin.
It was my passport wedding ring and pants.
Wow.
And I had left them, I think, on the plane. I don't know. I ended up at a consulate. I don't even remember much of it.
It was a good time.
Totally forgot about that. But it is embarrassing to go to anyone and say, I left my pants somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Doug. Appreciate the call. Thanks for listening. Let's go to Joey. He's on line 5 bringing back one of our all-time favorite moments.
Hey, Joey.
Morning, Chuckleheads and Lisa May.
Hi.
So my favorite moment's St. Patty's Day when he took the wrong car.
Oh, Kevin.
Now, remember? When you say took, you mean the valet forced the wrong car on me.
Kevin, you got into someone else's car, remember? And tell the story about what you thought when you got in and started driving it away.
Well, first of all, I had gotten a brand new car the day before. Like that helps. And then this one was very, very, very close to it. And the guy handed me the key, said, here's your car. So I got in and drove off. And I saw like a brush in there and a couple different things. I was like, those sons of bitches were driving my car. And then I realized there was stuff everywhere. It was all for a female, and it was not my car.
It was not even the color of your car.
It was close. I mean, mine was dark, dark blue or something, and this was black. But then I thought, oh, I got to get back right away. And I pulled over, and I was going to pull into the drive, you know, the parking lot, and hopefully no one would see me. But the traffic was so backed up, I had to stop in the middle lane, and I heard somebody yell, that's my car!
That's awesome.
I just got out and walked through traffic.
Thank you for the call, sir.
Yeah,
let's go to Mike. He's on line 7, Alhambra. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Kevin's grave that was sweeping the nation. Kevining.
Remember Kevin?
Yes.
Yeah, that was great.
There's a little that he hates more.
Now, Kevin, the story was you were at a photo shoot.
Yes.
And the only picture you said don't use was that one, right?
Yeah, because I'm not really that picky. I don't find myself attractive in pictures. So which one you use doesn't really matter.
Right.
But this particular one, I looked, the R word that we're not allowed to say anywhere.
You were especially special.
Redskin, right.
And I said, that's the only one. You can pick any other photo you want. I'm fine. I don't care. And that's the one they used.
That's awesome.
And then everybody had to do that. To this day, people try to get me to do it in photos.
And people still send their Kevin photos, too.
Yep.
I mean, it has not died. All right, let's go to Robert in Pasadena. I'm not sure I remember this one exactly the way Robert's telling it.
Oh, I do.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi, Robert.
Hi.
So many memories to remember back on, but I'm going to concentrate on the Coachella episode where you were awkwardly passed out, perched on a couch.
Yeah, I was laying half on a couch, half off.
Yes.
And I was passed out, and people were doing weird stuff to me, and they put the photo up. And then the only one I remember the Photoshop was of me in the war room with President Obama when they took out Bin Laden. And I was just sleeping in the corner. K-Rock people all over the place were just putting me in the most unlikely of situations.
That's a great one, Robert. Thank you for the call. Let's go to
Chuck.
He's on line 3. Chatsworth up next.
Hey, Chuck.
Good morning, everyone.
Hello.
Well, I mean, yes, there are so many of them. And this one just happened recently. Kevin hanging up on Sir Paul McCartney.
Oh.
I mean, who hangs up on Paul McCartney, for God's sake?
Yes.
That's a great question. Hold on. Here it is.
See you guys.
Who hangs up on Paul McCartney? Yeah. And by the way, he's never been the same since. I think he's canceled a lot of shows. That happened.
You don't think there's any other determining factors?
Nope.
I think that was I think that hurt him deeply. I really do. All right. Line 5, Kevin, you're going to love. Minda calls us from West L.A. to remind you of what story, Minda?
Kevin versus the raccoon.
Kevin versus the raccoon.
That's right.
That son of a bitch.
I crack up when I think of Kevin facing off with the raccoon in his driveway every time I'm in my driveway.
The raccoon was right behind my car, so I couldn't get out to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't scare it away. It just stood there. I threw a 2x4 at it. I could barely pick up the 2x4. And it just looked at me like, and?
I don't know. It took 45 minutes or something. All right.
Thanks for the call. Great. Christian writes in, I have a couple of favorite Kevin moments. When he got super upset while playing poker and stormed off only to find out a few minutes later that he had won and sheeplessly came back to the table.
Oh, that's right.
Another Coachella memory, when Kevin borrowed someone else's Honda motor scooter only to wreck it a few seconds later.
Yeah, by the way, that was a classic. It was an older motorcycle that they had rebuilt pristine and perfect. Oh. That's the one I wrecked.
And you got on it, and 8 seconds later, was in the dirt.
Just face first.
And also, he adds another favorite Kevin memory, when he threatened to fight everyone at the Miss Double D pageant. Remember that?
No, they deserved it.
All right, let's go to Melanie real quick. She's on
line two. Really? There's more?
Melanie is in Orange, and she wants to tell you how you, Kevin, have changed her life for the better. Hi, Melanie.
Well, that's not exactly right, but... I can relate to Kevin. I have multiple sclerosis, and I have a lot of cognitive problems just like Kevin. Every time I hear Kevin make a mistake, I think of myself, and I was suggesting that maybe you get an MRI and find out what's wrong with you.
Could I skip that step and just say I have MS? I mean, do you think people would buy that?
I think they would buy it. Honestly, I really do.
You know what? If that were your new thing, if you took Melanie's suggestion and came in one day and said, hey, guys, I have MS, we actually wouldn't be able to make fun of you anymore.
Legally. We probably couldn't,
like, legally,
right?
Yeah. Legally. This could.
But then we'd have to prepare like three times as much show as we do
that
now.
That is true.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be rough.
All right, Melanie, thanks so much for the call. We appreciate your memory. By the way, I'm very, very sad that we're going to lose you. It's been a lot of fun.
Shut up. I'm going to be back.
Sure you are.
Well, I hope so.
Every Thursday morning here on the program, we catch up with the good doctor, Dr. Drew Pinsky, co-host of Loveline here on K-Rock. Dr. Drew on call on HLN Monday through Fridays at 6. And I'm about up to here. I got an ass full of this Dr. Drew.
Kevin. Is that right?
Why? Yeah, well, because how many times we go to him and we've got an awesome idea like, you know, butt-chugging vodka or something like that, and he poo-poos it just because, you know, he's a downer. And now there's a new trend that helps you not be drunk. It's the opposite of getting drunk. It helps you get sober faster, and he's against that also. Like, he's nothing but a hater, this Dr. Drew.
God, I'm so glad. I'm glad you guys are going on vacation.
Dr. Drew, why are you a party pooper? Why is it no one can ever please you? Whatever it is somebody wants to do, you're against it.
I mean, I'm so unhappy with that intro. That's exactly not who I am. Kevin knows that.
Dr. Drew's been arguing this point, and I think correctly, that he's not telling anybody to do anything. He's just saying if it gets out of control, then you have issues.
That's right. People think I'm against legalizing pot. People think I'm against people drinking and then taking IV therapy. We'll talk about that in a second. But people should enjoy. They should have a great time. I'm happy for people. But if they get out of control and want help, that's where I'd like to.
Okay, but you're talking about on your HLN show this week, you're talking about the trend that I guess is growing now of using an IV to get over a hangover, to get sober faster. Now, tell us about what exactly is involved here and whether it's good or bad.
All right, a couple things. The thing that's most disturbing to me, I'll get to the hangover cure, so to speak, in a second.
All right.
The most disturbing thing is celebrities, so-called, are going for vitamin therapies, IV vitamin therapies, to help them lose weight, to help them be better in bed, to help them be healthier. And I swear to God, the IV vitamin therapy you can get at Trader Joe's in a little canister and put the pill in your mouth, you get the same damn vitamins. And by the way, those aren't going to do much for you. But to put a foreign body, a plastic cannula in your vein to get an IV therapy for no medical reason only puts you at risk of harm. Things can be introduced through the IV that are untoward. You can get phlebitis. You can get infection in the vein. You can get infection introduced to your bloodstream. Horrible things can happen from IV. And it looks it. There was a picture of Rihanna getting an IV therapy, and everyone went, oh, look at her. Rihanna was sick in the hospital and took an Instagram picture of her IV. She needed the IV therapy. These other people, some of the reality shows, some of the housewives, are going and getting IV therapies before they go to a wedding, before they go to party. And then the part that Bean is interested in, Kevin wants me to get to.
Yeah, I do. Look, we agree probably 100% on the you're just going to get vitamins, but what about the hangover cure?
Good reason. Okay, hangover cure, okay. Forever, we resuscitate, fluid resuscitation therapy for alcoholics has been around for a long time. We give them thiamine and magnesium and IV fluids, and very high doses of thiamine, in fact, and it can be extremely important. It can prevent It can prevent something called a Wernicke syndrome. The magnesium can prevent seizures or add to that risk or reduce that risk. It's an important therapy. It's called a banana bag. It's been around forever.
Is that something I can take with me to Brazil?
You're going to need more than that.
And
Kevin.
Self-administer?
You're taking a bodyguard, aren't you? Yes?
Brad Williams.
He's little, but he's scrappy.
Oh, my God. He's going to end up rolled up like an armadillo on the soccer field or something.
That's possible.
I'm very
scared. We have made the decision that, unlike the military, it's leave everyone behind. Every person is on his own.
Is Brad seriously going with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah.
He will dehydrate quicker. So, yes, for him, I'm going to have to recommend some
IV. For him, but not me!
No, okay, for the extreme alcohol consumption that you're going to get into, Kevin. All right. Yes, there is rationale. Yes, there's rationale. There is. You will feel better. It is safer in some respect to resuscitate you with IV fluids. There are actually mobile units in Las Vegas that run around doing this.
I was going to ask you about that. Are you for or against that, Dr. Drew?
I am not against it. I'm not against anything, Bean. I'm not against it. However, here's my grave concern. If you are drinking so much that you need IV therapies, those guys aren't even referring for any substance treatment after they resuscitate people. If you need IV therapy after your alcohol binge, I would look into whether or not there's a problem here.
But, Dr. Drew, IV therapy does nothing but get you back out there drinking.
I know, and that's the point.
That's my point.
We're going to patch you. You specifically are looking forward to that. Me as a physician worry that we're patching people up to keep practicing their addiction. That's all I'm saying. And then not giving them a referral to get better if they need it, if they want it. You don't have to do it, but Kevin, you never will. I know.
All right. So you're saying that it is useful for you. It's not. It shouldn't be the end of the discussion about your drinking and why you need an IV. But it is useful for health reasons to get an IV if you're super, super drunk. You're saying that. But you're saying don't get the IV for vitamins, like some of the celebrities you said on your show have been spending up to $1,000 to have that brought into their house.
It's just insane. If you're needing the IV, is not going to really cure your hangover. It's going to make you feel a little better. It's going to reduce some of the consequences
that's,
on your body.
That's all I need.
But hangover really ultimately is alcohol withdrawal. That's really what it is.
It's so keep drinking?
Brain withdrawing from the alcohol. Yeah, so keep drinking.
Hey, Dr. Drew, I've never asked you this before. Have you ever been super drunk?
Yeah, I went to college.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. It's been a number of years, though.
Yeah.
All right. Love Live with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. K-Rock, Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 o'clock. Dr. Drew on call with him and his harem of beauties on HLN at 6. And then the fine family of Dr. Drew podcast at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Thanks for the time, Doc. Talk to you next week.
Okay, that's it. That one's over. Things are going to be a lot tighter when I'm gone.
They sure are.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:53.
I'm so sad, by the way, that we didn't have more time to take more calls because people are still flooding the Facebook page and the Twitter and the email with all their favorite Kevin memories.
I'm so sad, too.
Kevin's last show, obviously. He's probably not coming back from Brazil. On Facebook, Andrew writes in, remember the time when Kevin threw out the first pitch and fell on his face at the Dodger game?
Oh, yeah.
John writes in, Duke of Tarzana. How could we forget that Kevin was the Duke of Tarzana? Are you still the Duke of Tarzana when you get packages delivered to your house?
I am not, no.
All right.
It's always something absurd, but it's not that.
Wolf writes in two words, drink store. I mean, so many great memories over the years from our man Kevin. It's going to be sad to lose him. Hey, Ralph is on jury duty today, so we're taking a look at the showbiz beat. We start with some very sobering news, some very potentially tragic and sad news, and it involves one of our favorite people. The beautiful Kat Von D is in the news. Have you seen this shit, Kevin?
I haven't.
She has a guy.
Say, have you seen this yet?
Yes. Oh. Have you seen this yet? This story. Kat Von D, have you seen
you
what's going
the
on?
S word.
No,
I
have not.
What are you guys talking about?
We thought you said, have you seen this?
I said, have you seen this yet?
All right, I'm just saying. Right. It didn't sound that way. Go ahead.
Slurred.
There's a guy who's named Michael Nunn, who is a Kat Von D stalker. They have quite a history. She got a restraining order against him back in 2012. He was harassing her with creepy phone calls, showing up at her home and work, according to TMZ.com this morning. Well, he is in the news right now because he tweeted on June 4th these words. You have to understand, Kat, my life is over because of you. Therefore, what would be my only reason for living? Revenge. I want people to feel guilt for what I'm about to initiate in a few weeks. He goes on that he threatens to go Columbine in Los Angeles.
What the hell?
He told Kat, get it through your effing head, lose the game, or watch people die. You're running out of time, and I'm not running out of anger and determination. These are this is serious stuff. I mean, this is sounding a lot like that kid who shot up Santa Barbara a few weeks ago, right?
This guy needs hospitalization right now.
Well, the LAPD is looking for him. Apparently, he lives in Iowa, by the way, and they are desperately trying to locate him and assess how much of a real threat this could be because, you know, this sounds exactly like the kind of guy who just goes crazy and goes and starts shooting up stuff. But, you know, obviously, fingers crossed they find him and they avert some sort of a tragedy, but very, very sad for Kat to see what she's going through with that. That's horrible.
More news about Bjork. One of our favorite slash weirdest people that we've ever met. She is going to be in the Museum of Modern Art in New York City.
Really?
Yep. You know how much I love the Museum of Modern Art.
You're all about modern art.
It's all good. Her musical performance, art, and film work will be on display as a retrospective. Bjork. It opens in March of 2015.
Well, A, I hope that we'll be able to talk to her about it. But B, you know, she does a lot of like crazy far out modern art type things. I mean, she is the person who wore a swan suit to the Oscars. I mean, she sounds like a good fit with the Museum of Modern Art, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess,
but I just assumed it would be like artwork. But well, it's not.
Artwork's based
it's like music
on...
and...
Based on the, quote, art that she gave us.
Okay.
Kate Upton is in the news, you guys, and I don't like this story because it sounds like somebody is saying something bad about Kate Upton. And that is that she is a sports jinx. The New York Post points out that Justin Verlander, her current boyfriend, who is a pitcher for the Detroit Tigers, is having the worst stretch of his career right now. They also claim that when she was dating Mark Sanchez, the quarterback for the Jets, he was terrible. And when she was dating,
Mark Sanchez has always pretty much been terrible.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
Don't put that on Kate, right? She also apparently dated Clippers Blake Griffin, and he had career setbacks at the time that they were dating. So the Post is suggesting, hey, what's the common denominator all of these slumping athletes have? And it could be that they found something in their lives that they care more about than sports, and that's Kate Upton's vagina.
And.
Oops. They were exhausted.
Yeah. You can only keep up so much energy
Absolutely.
On a schedule like that.
It's understandable.
You're just a man. That's all you are. You're just a man.
We talked earlier this morning about Queen Elizabeth in England, who is a, quote, fan of Game of Thrones.
Nope.
Yay!
And I would like to suggest that Lisa is right on when she says, nope.
Too many boobs.
She doesn't know what it is. Supposedly she's going to visit the set when she goes to Ireland or wherever the set is. And come on.
I don't buy it for a second.
Stop trying to make her hip. Stop it.
She's not current.
She's not current. She's not hip. She doesn't know what's going on. She probably never watches TV.
You said this was a tweet?
Yeah, it was a tweet from her tweet account.
What did it say? Do you have it?
What did the tweet say?
It would be a surprise.
HBO?
It would definitely be a surprise to me if she's on Twitter.
Well,
she's got somebody who does it.
Supposedly, her royal Twitter feed is at British Monarchy. According to this story, that's the one that they use for the Queen.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the Queen is tweeting, though. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter right now, and I'm looking. There are a ton of obviously other people pretending
like
to be the
fake
queen
ones
and tweeting things.
But
right,
this one isn't even funny.
Here it is. As part of the visit to Northern Ireland, the Queen and the Duke will tour the Game of Thrones set in the Titanic Quarter. Hashtag Belfast. Hashtag GOT.
We're lying.
It does sound legitimate. It sounds like they're really going to be there. But
well, they may be there, but she's never seen that
show. She doesn't
know
what Game of Thrones is, and if she liked TV, she wouldn't like that.
I would be very surprised if the Queen is watching Game of Thrones. Yeah. I mean, I would be surprised if anyone in her 80s is watching Game of Thrones, much less the Queen. She seems like more of a gardening show type of person, doesn't she?
Here's her comment.
Actually, fun enough, I was talking to the Queen about it on Thursday.
Oh, well, that clarifies it for us. Today's celebrity birthdays here include singer Paula Abdul. She is 52 years old today. I bet most people listening right now only know Paula Abdul as an American Idol judge. Probably do not remember that she was one of the biggest pop stars in the world back in the late 80s and early 90s.
Was she one of the biggest in the world?
She sure was. She had a number of number one hits, sold millions of records. Actor Hugh Dancy turns 39 years old today, same age as actress Poppy Montgomery. Zoe Saldana is 36 years old today. Macklemore turns 31, and actor Paul Dano is 30, and that's your Showbiz Beat. Stand by. You're about 5 minutes away from qualifying to go to Lollapalooza in Chicago. Stop number one of K-Rock's Road Trip USA 2014. We'll tell you what to do. Get more details and enter online to win as well at krock.com. I'm glad we got that party pooper Dr. Drew off the air a few minutes ago, so now we can really get to it with Adam Carolla, because he's a fun guy. He's a guy who doesn't say no to everything. Hey, Ace Man, what's going on?
That's right, I don't say no. See how that worked? That was a positive. Yeah, I can't believe Drew's still around. What's that kid up to?
Well, you do a podcast with him every week, so I'm sure you have had an ass full of him as well. But he's always coming on telling us what we can't do. That's the thing about Dr. Drew that drives us crazy.
Well, you know, the thing about doctors is everything's a bummer. And you know what? No adult that you pay essentially calls you a liar more than your doctor.
That's right.
If you think about it.
That's right.
Like, if you go to your doctor and he goes, do you drink? Do you smoke? You know, first off, I always have this answer, which is always bad with the doctor. And I go, do you drink? There's always a follow-up. You know, you go, yeah, you know, moderately. By the way, the answer that I usually give, you know, like everyone else,
yeah,
is never accepted.
No.
And then they go, do you drink? And you go, yeah, you know, a little bit. And they go, how often? And you go, oh, you know, maybe a couple glasses of wine. By the way, that is a keg of rum to them. When you say, I drink maybe 2-3 glasses of wine a night, they're picturing you sliding on a mechanic's creeper under an old-timey keg of rum, like an old wooden sailing ship, and just letting it go until you pass out. And then they go, do you smoke? And you go, no, I don't smoke. I mean, you know, occasionally, you know, only when I drink. And then the lying begins.
Sure. That's right. Then look out.
It is one of those things, though. If you say to your doctor, I smoke one cigarette a year, what's wrong with that? They'll go, that's one too many. It's not one too many. They're calling you a liar.
Ah, they don't think you only smoke one.
That they know you don't.
Got
if you say smoke one cigarette a year, they go, no, that's he's 2 packs a day.
Yeah.
Knock it off.
All right. Adam joins us every Thursday on the Kevin and Bean Show. You can also see him live on stage with a great show coming up, a live podcast at the Gas Lamp Restaurant and Bar in Long Beach. The first show at 7:30 is already sold out. The 10 o'clock show just added has some tickets available. Go to adamcarolla.com for details. And don't miss the big party coming to Las Vegas later in the summer at the Treasure Island. Time now for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, start with 3 and working my way on up to number 1. Had this revelation, had a huge beet salad about 1 in the afternoon last Saturday, and this thing just had huge, hearty chunks, just slabs of beets, and I was lapping it up because I love beets. And then as I was eating it, it dawned on me, and I said to the waiter, you know, when you serve up this big, hunky slab of beet salad, you should give the guys a little bracelet as a reminder. Because somewhere around 10:30 tonight, after I've had a couple of beers, I'm going to go use the commode.
Oh.
When I'm done, I'm going to look at it.
Why?
I'm going to scream, take me, dear Lord. My colon has come out. Get the doctor. Call the coroner. There's no time for the doctor. Just get the undertaker. And then at some point, I'll think, oh, wait a minute. I had that huge beet salad 11 hours ago, and it all will be right in the world again. But if they gave you a bracelet, I'm not talking about anything expensive or shiny, just one of those little clip-on things, you know, you get to go backstage at a show or when you go into a bar and they have the under 21 thing. If you want to drink, they snap on that little bracelet. Just that little plastic bracelet that's, you know, make it purple. You know, you might not have to write too much on it, I suppose, the bracelet itself, but, you know, I beat beets, or be prepared, or don't be shocked, or look out for trouble, or whatever. But when you order beets, they just snap that little, the waiter just snaps a little bracelet on you,
okay,
and then you're good. And by the way, it'd be fun if you're, like, walking through the mall and you spotted another guy. Hey, man, Hey, you had beets too? Cool.
It'll just save you from getting a heart attack later on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's people, they vote, they get the little sticker that said, I voted. That's not doing anyone any good except for showing you're better than everyone at the office or you gave blood. You get the little sticker. You order beets, they give you the bracelet. It's the beet bracelet. You don't have a heart attack. You're on the commode 14 hours from then.
So, Adam, you think that walking in a mall and seeing another guy who eats beets will be, quote, fun?
Well, you know, certainly it's a conversation starter. What'd you do, get the goat cheese and arugula or just go with the straight beets? You know, and then there'd probably be some disappointment where the guy was like, yeah, I got beets last Wednesday. I just haven't showered. Like, I'm pretty lazy. Like, I just kind of leave the beet on. Or it helps me get laid.
You know, just think
I'm health conscious.
Sure. Adam can find a conversation to have with every human on Earth, can't he?
It's true.
It's the new Live Strong. Let's face it. All right. Number two, everyone's gripped in World Cup hysteria. Oh, boy, can I tell you how excited this broadcaster was when I got my car at 5:45 yesterday to go to the Burbank Airport to catch a flight to Sacramento on Southwest Airlines, and I heard that Brazil had tied Mexico 0-0 the night before.
By the way, that was a big victory for Mexico.
Oh, it's a huge.
No, I'm serious.
You don't get bigger than 0-0.
No, I'm serious.
I mean, the play, I'm surprised they haven't burned down Mexico. It's insane. They took to the streets. Incredible. Oh, no, it's massive. Man, they're.
I'm saying to get points for each game, and they did really well to keep them from scoring.
Oh, no, 0-0. Okay. Look.
Never mind.
In any sport, 0-0. That's massive. No, look, I don't care if it's hockey or football, curling. I don't care what it is. When you get a 0 and the other team gets a 0, there's nothing more scintillating. I was on my feet the whole 7 hours, just cheering my ass off. First off, let me say this, World Cup. I'm not buying into this stuff. There's a huge vacuum right now. There's no more hockey. There's no more football. There's no more basketball. And who gives a crap about baseball since everyone is 41-41? You have hit us right in our soft, doldrums, sports underbelly. We got nothing going on, and so we can get whipped up about your super boring, crappy sport. If this took place anywhere near the football playoffs, it'd be like, where's Brazil? Huh? Mexico, what? You'd be like, oh, Mexico's got a zero. Oh, that reminds me. I got to get my lawn mowed. What's going on? What are you talking about? Nobody cares about this crappy sport. We got nothing going on. This is basically an alcoholic with no booze in the cabinet. We're having to drink fingernail polish remover. We have nothing. It would be nothing if this was football season. Nothing.
I know you speak for a lot of people right now when you say these things, but it's growing, man. It's bigger every... I mean, 16 million people watched that USA game the other day, you know.
No basketball, no football, no real sports. Of course, it's growing. We need any port in a storm. And number one, I know you got a lot of kids listening, and I got a little life lesson for them.
All right.
This is all you need to know about your life. It is all the advice. Forget about the counselors and the Deepak Chopra and the school teachers and your parents. Just listen to Uncle Adam for a second. All you need to know about life is when you call somebody and your name comes up on their phone caller ID, what is their first thought? That's all you need to know.
That's it.
That's your only standing in life. Well, we all know the phone rings and you see, oh, crash. Oh, God. I'll call this guy back. Or, no, I'm not in the mood for it. Or, I'm not up for it. Or we all know the phone rings and, oh, hell yeah. And you hit the thing, right?
Right, right.
What are you to everyone else?
Wow. That's sobering. I don't know that I wouldn't want to know that.
You've never called another human being, so you don't have to worry about it.
Bean would have to start calling people. Right, exactly.
All you have to think about, your first thought every day when you wake up and your last thought before you go to bed is when I call people and my name pops up on their phone, what is their thought? That would keep the entire world in line.
Wow, that is actually very, very deep and very troubling, Adam. I wish you hadn't put that in my head.
I like it. You can read more of Adam's musing in his new book called President Me, The America That's in My Head. It is a bestseller and available at book retailers everywhere. Go to adamcarolla.com for details and to buy tickets for the next live event, which is Saturday, July 19th at the Gaslamp Restaurant and Bar in Long Beach for two big shows. Adam, great talking to you, man. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you.
Foster the People on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 941.
Ralph Garman is out today. He has jury duty. He'll be back tomorrow. And we do have a very special way to close today's show. Don't go away. We'll hit a couple of showbiz stories here and then our final tribute to Kevin here on his last ever Kevin and Bean show. You're going to want to be out of radio and maybe want to die when I debut this story on the showbiz beat for today, Kevin.
Can I ask a question before we move on?
Sure.
If I don't die, are you guys going to be like, really disappointed?
A little bummed.
Okay. Yeah, little, I mean,
it's kind,
we
kind
build
of
up to it.
It's kind of like you know, we've already thrown a wedding shower and we're all making plans and then you guys break up like at the last minute before you get married. We feel like we're invested at this point.
I mean, I'm already grieving.
I'm past it already. I've already grieved and I'm already over it.
I'm guessing that I'll be back.
But when you hear this story, Kevin, right, you're not going to want to come back.
Right.
And it's maybe the show business story of the day. It is certainly breaking the internet. It is rocking my world and everyone I know world. And that is that Taylor Swift has a new cat.
Yay! What happened to the old one?
Fuck you.
Okay, you can't use the F word. Kevin, you understand you can't say the F word.
What does it matter if I'm dying?
The station still has to pay your fines if you say the F word.
Oh.
The old cat, Meredith, Lisa, thank you for asking.
God, I hate you. I hate Taylor Swift. I hate her
fine.
Stupid cat.
The new cat is a kitten. She's so cute. She's a tiny little white cat with beautiful blue eyes. Her name is Olivia Benson. Okay. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
No.
She named the cat after her favorite TV show character, Mariska Hargitay's character, on Law & Order SVU.
Ah.
So the cat is named Olivia Benson. Meredith, Kevin, in case you're wondering.
Couldn't care less. Unbelievable.
Meredith was named after Ellen Pompeo's character on on Grey's Anatomy. That's
I'd rather
she's
die.
Named Meredith. So got
is
two...
anybody buying this polished turd?
Would you like to
Leonardo
hear more?
DiCaprio.
Is it possible that you've just used some really poor judgment
you're
here?
You're just going to keep playing whatever you can play.
I'm sorry you don't like so many people. Friends are important in this world. You should encourage others to make good and not dislike them for it.
Okay, that's fine. I'm very excited.
It's a neurological disorder. He can't control what he says.
About
okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
Oh, I need that one a lot.
Is the name. Anyway, if you want to see a photo.
Wants to see a photo of Tadolf Switler's new cat.
It is currently my avatar on Twitter, and you can follow me at Clyde Tombaugh.
God, so I'm going to make sure I don't come back.
I told you wouldn't want to come back after that.
Katy Perry and Robert Pattinson are together. That's a lot. Who knows if it's true or not, but. Apparently, they went to a movie premiere, and they were making out all night. I find that hard to believe.
I don't know.
Don't you find that hard to believe?
I don't know. I don't know anything about Rob Pattinson, except he seems moody and flimsy.
And low-key and personality-less.
But maybe that's his public persona. Maybe in private. Maybe when he's just, you know, hanging out with his friends or something like that. Maybe he has something.
But if you're a girl on this planet that looks like Katy Perry.
Right.
You can just pick any man on the earth and go, you.
But maybe because of that.
You don't pick Rob Pattinson.
Maybe because of that, Katy Perry is sexually free enough to pick them all. Maybe it's not like she's picking somebody because she wants to get married. Maybe
His turn?
It's just his turn. Maybe she's like, hey, he's cute. I'll have some of that this week. And then it doesn't have to be a lifetime commitment. She can move on and do something else after that. I mean, that's not the worst idea you've ever heard, is it, Lisa?
No. She's having a good time.
She certainly doesn't have a type, though. I mean, how different is Rob Pattinson, if it's true that they're dating, from Russell Brand, who she was married to?
Yeah, a little different.
I mean, they seem like complete opposites, those two, right?
Yeah, they really do. I don't get it.
More information on Chelsea Handler taking her talk show to Netflix. We talked about this a little bit earlier. This is something new for Netflix because we're used to it being a place where you go, you know, to binge watch TV shows like Orange is the New Black or House of Cards. I don't know how it's going to work with this talk show. It's going to be a weekly thing where they're going to release new episodes on Friday at 7 or whatever it's going to work. But she was on the E! Channel for 7 years, and she announced that she wanted to leave there. And here's the statement. And this is very Chelsea Handler, by the way, because this is all about how great she is. If I was going to continue working in this industry, like anyone was asking her to, by the way,
yeah,
I knew I had to do something outside the box to keep myself interested. I wanted to sit with the cool kids at lunch, so I approached Netflix to make sure they were as cool as I thought they were.
Really? She gave them an audition?
Yes. When I confirmed my suspicions, like with any other future lover, I made my move. I'm more excited than I've been in a while, and the team at Netflix is the most forward-thinking alert group I've sat down with in ages. So apparently, Chelsea likes Chelsea. Apparently, that's what's going on here. The good news is the talk show does not debut until 2016, so there is still time for it to fall apart.
Thank God. The Twitter beef goes on between Teen Mom and Farrah Abraham. Apparently, the MTV show Teen Moms is hugely popular, mm-hmm. and they've been sniping at each other. And she says that they make bad choices because they had another kid. And then they would go on Twitter and say, "Yeah, but we didn't make a sex date." So it's
This is somebody from the TV show that yes. she used to be on that's Correct. Now smack-talking her because she's doing porn.
Correct, yes. Hmm. Catalin Lowell and Tyler Baltiera are the people who are beefing with her. And this is getting real.
I had no
idea. It's about to go down.
I didn't know it was so gangsta up in the Teen Mom. I had no idea. All right, listen, we're almost out of time. We got a big show tomorrow to tell you about. But before we go, any final words from you, Kevin?
I will see you when I get back from vacation.
Oh, that's right. We'll dial up the hotline to heaven.
Right. That's all right, man.
Or the hotline to hell, whichever one seems funnier that day.
Depends on how things go.
A lot of requests. We were taking phone calls earlier today from people with their favorite Kevin memories. We didn't even have time to get to a lot of them. We also played the top 10 moments with in the history of Kevin here on the show. Please check that out on the podcast or at krock.com later if you missed that. But a lot of people have been requesting really your anthem, your theme song to play one more time before we send you to Brazil. Hit it, Steve.
He sounds drunk, so what, he can't speak, maybe he's dumb, he's special needs, what's he talking about, man, he sounds crappy, Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 K-R-O-K. We've got a special guest to talk to about it.
It's like you catch a fish in a lake and you put it out on the ground and just like flops around on the ground completely. It's like a fish out of water is what it's like.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
We've got to get to the bottom of what in the hell is going on with this Blue Man group. These guys, they paint their faces red.
Now, Monday morning, we have an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
And how often have you used it?
Did you know that going into when you started on the second office, when you were on the outside office, not the one, main one?
Where is you?
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about? Man, he sounds crappy. Kevin's a big-headed drunkie.
When you roast E-Fiesta 2007.
Oh, my God.
I saw him as a what do you call
it? I don't
know. Just color commentary?
By the way, just for the movie theaters, it's not a hard one, but if you heard it, but it is the way you heard it.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you a regular Duck fan? Will you watch all the time him?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even his, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You have to do it, like they say.
Yes, and you see these sites you never knew existed, but they're right up here. And it just, hours.
But the photo shoot really looked good.
So what, he sounds drunk. So what, he can't speak. Maybe he's dumb. He's special needs. What's he talking about?
Now that's par for the cake.
Of course.
I got it.
I don't know. That's a toss-up.
You need
the disadvantage in this story? When good men fail to stand up, bad yes. triumphs, or whatever that is. We need an update for when the book comes out on DVD.
What did you do?
Are you here to protect us? Not hot?
That song is over, and now we will speak. It's the Kevin and Beecher on the world famous K-Rock.
I need to do the Dave plan next time. I'm not drunk. We owe every one of you that listens to the show a great debt of gratitude. I don't think that's what I meant to say.
So what? He sounds drunk.
Al Pacino, good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is John Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
Okay, explain to me exactly what I did wrong.
No, Kevin Ryder, you ignoramus, get off the alcohol!
That's an extra question.
That guy's going to be thrilled. That guy hates me is going to be so thrilled.
He has been wanting you to die for a long time. All right, well, that's it as we say goodbye to Kevin. For those of us that still live on the earth, what's happening on tomorrow's all-new Kevin and Bean Show?
Comedian Ian Edwards will be here. We have Psycho Body, Psycho Mike.
Yeah.
Jillian Bell from 22 Jump Street. Another Bean's Death Corner that's not going to include me yet. And as it is Friday, we got the movie beat.
Awesome.
All tomorrow.